Well, boys, looks like you started the fun without me.
You're all sick. Every last one of you.
We're going to need a bigger gun.
What's the matter? You scared of things that go boom, boom, boom?
Give me one goddamn reason why I shouldn't blow your goddamn brains all over that goddamn wall.
My name is Eric, and I'm here with... This is Michael Kester. Is that correct? Michael Kester?
That's a good way to pronounce it.
I think we've actually...
I mean, you've already gotten it wrong in the last 10 years, so we'll just go with it. We'll just roll with it.
I think we've met before, actually. I feel like this is not...
Yeah.
Were you in Scent of a Woman?
I was. Yeah.
Okay, that must be it. That must be it. That's one of the movies we're doing on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
It's not time yet for your double feature. It's not time. We're not in Scent of a Woman. Don't lie to people. But we're really all in Simone, aren't we?
Kinda. I mean, it is about each and every one of us.
Right. It's like when time does Person of the Year and it's you.
Yeah.
It's a little bit. Yeah.
And it's like a glossy metallic cover. So when you pick it up, there's like a warbly pinkish image of whatever.
Listen, we complained about it at the time, but I'll take Time Person of the Year as a reflective surface over a big, ugly fucking orange one. Mm. But hey, let's just stay out of reality and into the immersive escapism of two movies.
Double feature.
Because if we think too much about modern society, these movies will be creepy as fuck. So we have two today. Before we talk about the themes and the spoilers, I wanted to talk about the Patreons of the double features.
Okay.
There is a website you can go to, a little known website. It's patreon.com, patreon.com/double feature.
Okay.
If you get on there, you can help fund the show double feature, which is actually this show.
Wow. Okay. So you're already at the show that it would fund.
Really? I'm being really punchy here. I'm really sorry. I realized if I didn't put the brakes on that, it would get really bad. So yeah, asshole, this show. What do you mean this show? Yes. The show you're already, I know it sounds like the show would just keep going if you don't put a dollar in that box, but it'll stop. You thought it was going to stop, didn't you?
No, right there. That was it.
Probably didn't. It wouldn't stop like that. It would stop on, you understand. You understand how the inevitable demise of mankind works. And if you don't, hold on. We got some movies for you.
There's an arbitrarily chosen point at which the show will stop continuing. And it will be very clear, if not just because no more shows will come out.
Yeah, right. I believe we may be coming close to that point.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
I have started watching a fuck ton of movies, though. Really, really good movies. And I would like them to be on a hypothetical year 11 of the show.
Right. I also happen to know that a lot of the movies you're watching are not really good.
No.
Because sometimes I see the movies you're watching and I go, ooh, that is not a very good movie.
Thank you, though, for doing me the favor of not texting me to go... Enjoy the next 2 hours, asshole, because it's better when it's a surprise that I'm about to have a miserable time.
But
sometimes I surprise myself by having a wonderful time.
Cool. Yeah.
And those surprises can too be yours on next year of Double Feature. So head over to patreon.com/double feature. And if you don't give to Patreons, maybe just give this one like $2 would be good.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the amount of money. If you want zero, let's say we're going to ask for $4 and we'll compromise it $2. How does that sound?
Fair.
All right. Then please give me $2.
Double the dollars, double the features.
Then I need you to hand me $2 or I refuse to. 24 minutes into the show, we're going to skip to the second movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part where you reveal the first spoiler of the day. There'll be plenty on the show. Which movie is the second movie?
The second movie is S1M0NE.
Yeah, like a one and a zero, like computers. Yeah. Get it?
It's really hard to pull this movie up without typing the name that way.
Yeah,
into a search engine.
I like how you tried to stick it to the search engine. Like, I'm not going to play your game movie.
Yeah. But then you have to be like Simone 2000, Al Pacino, Elias Koteas, you know, the one with the computer girl.
Dear internet, can you find Simone featuring Al Pacino? No. Question mark.
You have to type it like one of the suckers who went and saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, like a 65-year-old Midwestern mom.
All right, so I'd like to present, since we've openly acknowledged what Simone is on the show, I would like to present one of the founding principles of Double Feature and then challenge ourselves to adhere to it. Well, I just feel like dropping this because we don't talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. We assume everybody knows what the fuck Double Feature is because mostly they do.
Yeah.
And that they don't know what our Patreon is because I can see how many of these fuckers are on this Patreon. So I know some of them don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for joining the Patreon. Anyways, what was I saying?
You're going to talk about how we're not going to mock these films for being heavy-handed garbage.
That's exactly what I was... Hypothetically, if they were heavy-handed garbage, which they're not, obviously, but if they were, if two other movies were heavy-handed garbage, we would definitely not make jokes about that over and over for 49 minutes. And sometimes that's easy. Like today, for instance, when the movies are definitely not that. But sometimes it's really, really hard. So without further ado, let's talk very slowly. No, I'm kidding. let me ask you a separate question on Son of a Woman.
Yeah.
And this is another show-related question, but I feel like this is the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
What's the ETA to the first hoo-ah joke on Double Feature today?
I hate that about this movie, okay. But there's a specific thing I hate about it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to try really hard to not even, like, I know sometimes we're like, ha ha ha, we won't make any Nine Inch Nails jokes. And then like the mark has been made and you know it's going to happen.
shut up.
But, this time I legitimately will. I may throw up in my mouth if either one of us makes that joke. So I'm going to steer as far away from it as I can, unless it is 100% perfect, at which case I will promptly kill myself.
Wow.
And that will be the end of the show.
I'm going to look for those jokes. I'm going to pick them up because, as you know, I am the collector. All right. Sorry. Let me put away this net. What if we think about, let's try this. What about if we think of the plot of Scent of a Woman?
Okay.
Like The House of the Devil, because it's basically the same film if they had made some very different choices. You know when you walk in a house and it's Tom Noonan and he's like, look, crazy Uncle Hua in the other room over there. He probably won't bother you at all. I just need you to sit on the couch. He's definitely not satanic.
Yeah.
Just chill here. It'll be fine. I'll give you $200 and then we could go about our merry ways.
The thing that I really want to talk about with Scent of a Woman outside of the plot of Scent of a Woman, which, come on, the plot, who fucking cares, is that...
Sorry, the dean of the school really cares about what the plot of the movie is, but besides it.
And it's this thing that, I mean, it is fucking Hollywood 101, where you go, here is the biggest star in the fucking universe in a new light.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to fucking jizz your shorts into a fucking golden statue and then hand it to that guy 8 months later.
I don't think that's how those are made. I think it might be.
I'm split one open. Believe when you get one, split one open.
Okay. Well, there's a thing you know that I can never take you up on because the odds of me holding a golden statue are even smaller than the odds of me holding a completed feature film. So,
Scent of a Woman takes Al Pacino, the gritty, hard gangster guy, and goes, but he's an actor, not... just, you know, he's more than just what you thought he was. And it's this fascinating representation with absolutely zero social half-life that comes out. And I mean, it was a splash. It was a big fucking deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is something we talk about this a lot, or we have talked about this a lot recently. Movies that resonate kind of ubiquitously have absolutely just the quickest flash in the pan syndrome.
Yeah. Early on the show, we just started disregarding award shows, and I feel like we both ride this coaster of occasionally like open the door, peeking our heads in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like that sweet Childish Gambino move I'm obsessed right. with, out of the door and go like, hey,
yeah.
awards, anything in here? Anything to this? Oh, no. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I guess I'll leave.
Well, and that's... it's
Hi, Guillermo. Okay, I'm leaving. Bye.
It's funny that you bring that up, because my most unpopular opinion on this is the movie Get Out. Because, I mean, especially for you and I, like removing outliers, I think it is believed that everybody in the entire world thinks Get Out is a good movie. I literally don't think anybody disagrees.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true, but of course it is. And...
The pointy white hat contingents.
Right, sure. But I think that Get Out, by being a successful film, resulted in a very flash in the pan sort of thing. I it's something I won't be able to prove until 5 years from now, but I just don't think Get Out is going to matter then.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. We've talked about this a little before, and that's because... the awards.
It was so, well, I think it's because it was so perfectly executed at the time. Mm-hmm. It was the most necessary and effective narrative of the zeitgeist. It hit everything.
And
sort of Heisenberg uncertainty principle style, by measuring society, it changed its trajectory.
Yes.
Away from where Get Out is. And in 5 years, you're going to look back at it and everyone's going to be like, man, everybody liked that. But like, when was the last time you fucking watched Titanic?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, does Avatar matter? And I think, you know, Scent of a Woman is similar to that. And to be fair, in 5 years, no matter how I feel about Get Out, I will tell you it's amazing. But Scent of a Woman, I think you look at people that were around when this movie came out, and I think everybody has these blinders where they go, that was a great movie. And I watch this movie, and I'm not trying to knock it, but I just go, tell me why. Just tell me what this movie is doing that 2018 needs.
Yeah.
And the answer is nothing, because when it came out—
I think it's doing a lot of things 2018 don't want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of that. But I just think, you know, when it came out, it was a movie that needed to come out then. It catapulted Al Pacino into this, like, he's a real actor. He's not just a strong man. And it deals with a lot of ideas that don't matter now because they were so contemporary then.
So in its best light, you would, and I think this is the argument you make about Get Out, is that it's a powerful enough film at the moment it comes out to be the fucking baseball bat that knocks the ball so far
exactly.
away it's nowhere near.
Yeah.
That we're like...
it lands in a different fucking field.
Right.
And sure, people have to go, I guess this is where the game is starting again.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, and I wonder, you know, there isn't a good way for us to watch Son of a Woman now and look back on that. But
well, there is.
You think so?
Because I saw it when I was fucking seven.
Oh, good. You don't happen to have like 13
minutes. A 20-minute dissertation on my feelings.
Of, yeah, right.
No, but I remember vividly, sorry to cut you off, but I remember going... this is an amazing movie as a seven-year-old. I mean, you know, what the fuck do I know? But going, this is good. This is a great film. This is of the caliber of the other film that I had at the time, which was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which we all know how I feel about that movie in 2018.
Yeah, that was a year negative 11. Double feature was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Son of a Woman.
Exactly. And... I mean, the only reason I even saw this movie is because my mom rented it because she thought it was the greatest fucking movie that ever came out because of the scene with the dancing and because he's not even blind. Those were things that she loved about the movie.
Yeah. Wow, did times change? Oh, man. Well, because you saw it when you were seven, can you explain to me what the fuck is going on with this Jaguar balloon prank? Just really briefly, because I'm dying. I just need to know what...
I don't know for sure.
What the idea is. There's a balloon above the car.
Yeah.
Why does he poke it?
I don't know. Okay. Especially when it's clearly filled with something. Yeah.
Right. I'm just that not... may not...
Yeah. I would have had to have been 19 at the time to know the punchline of that joke.
Yeah, because that's kind of the setup for the way this movie's written is really interesting. I see. So let's stop here for a second. There's a question on people's minds about movies like this today that I don't think we've ever really addressed why we don't talk about this more. But people see something like Son of a Woman today and they go, how did this get made?
Yeah.
The infamous.
Sure.
How did this get made?
For more on this, see Soul Man earlier this year.
Yeah, right. And I feel like we have found a couple movies that genuinely belong to that. But I actually think people throw up their hands at figuring out how movies got made too easily. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some weird stuff in Son of a Woman, but I just feel like maybe that's sometimes when people hand us a suggestion, they go, because I need to know how this got made. If we just look at Son of a Woman as an example, I mean, you laid this out, but I really want to underline this so this isn't such a big question, because I think it's obvious, and I feel like by explaining it, the reason I don't talk about this on more shows is because I feel like I'm talking down to people by explaining to me what's a pretty obvious thing. But you brought it up too. This is Al Pacino. He's a big, expensive actor. He goes in big, expensive movies. It's no more difficult than that. You have expensive people who you put in movies, so lots of people see them. That is unfortunately mm-hmm. how movies work. I know we like to think about them differently, but when you have big money movies, that's what happens. So he's an A-lister. This is a movie written for an A-lister, and it's written for somebody to show that they have some chops, which is why he does lots of weird things. And also, he has not won an Oscar, despite being somebody known for being not only a heavy-hitting actor, but he's just this kind of idea around how Al Pacino acts and being method.
Sure.
And these people think about him and they think about how he acts. They think about what he does. He isn't just a face, but you think about, oh, there's physicality to him and there's a range that's really interesting. Almost like people think about Nicolas Cage today.
Mm-hmm.
Nicolas Cage has actually followed a kind of a similar trajectory. When you think about all the range he has, but today people cherish him the most for the most over-the-top Nicolas Cage roles that you could possibly find.
Which I found, by the way, but year 11 has to happen.
Sure. If you're a collector of Nick Cages, you're always looking for the rarest, most over-the-top Nick Cages.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And so I feel like Al Pacino falls into kind of that same place. So the natural conclusion, in my mind, is this works
as an Oscar.
Right? I mean, it doesn't really have to be harder than that. And, you know, so we don't know the exact threads of who came to what where, but I see why someone would write this film. I see why they would go to get an Al Pacino, and I see why Al Pacino, reading this, would take it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no questions left, except what the hell is going on with that jaguar? And what is the moral conundrum of this film? Outside of those questions,
right?
We have a sympathetic portrayal of somebody who is what 2018 would call a garbage person, you know? And so I think that's a big part of it. Playing blind is also a big part of it. But
sure.
This is a movie about somebody who is on the surface pretty terrible. And then kind of peeling the onion a little bit, or at least getting past that surface layer to discover, is there justification for that? Is there any salvation for this person? Like, where is the humanity under here? How did this, you know, come to this? And I think when you find that he wants to kill himself, that is the trap that the movie's created.
Sure.
To spring, to go, oh, well, you've written this person off. You think it's a dirty old man. You think maybe the army makes him a jerk. You know, whatever you might think about this guy, he is set up firstly as the problem of the film. Somebody has to babysit him. He's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you find out that it's actually because he's going to kill himself, it's like an immediate, that's the trap springing.
Right.
That's going, aha, but You don't think he's so bad he should kill himself, do you?
Right.
Unfortunately, 2018 would just say yes, because in 2018, people who are bad should all kill themselves, and that's just how the internet feels about all of that. But try to try to live in the humanity we had 3 years ago before the United States was run by a garbage person, when you just hope they would all jump off a cliff like lemmings.
Right.
That's where the movie lives. That's a time when a tale like this could be told.
It's, you know, one of those movies that we talked a little bit last week about movies that exist in this sort of sacred, beloved era and then slowly just become fossils of that, and that's what makes them important.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one of those. It's not even a little one of those.
It definitely captures how we
slather Vaseline over our camera lenses. Is that what you're going to say?
One of the things, the reason I did want to kind of joke about this up top was not just the challenge of finding redemptive qualities about these movies, but also for as much as the movies are stuck in this era we view as simplistic and view as almost just, sometimes movies from the 90s are cringeworthy because they just talk about the internet as the world wide web and just the way we talk about things and the treatment of certain issues is gross. But it's actually that very grossness that allows Scent of a Woman to think about certain things in a way that, well, I mean, like we were just talking about, like I was just saying, we have no tolerance today for awful people, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Discovering the humanity of an awful person, I feel like, is a much bigger challenge today. In the 90s, that was treated as a thing that
you had to do. That was fucking mandatory humanity, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so in a way, there's, I almost don't believe I'm making this argument, but there is a certain nuance presented in Scent of a Woman that we're not even really capable of today.
Exactly. Well, it's, I mean, the 1990s as products of, one of the things I talk about a lot being a 30-year-old human in 2018 is that you and I have been through, and it's not the biggest, so I'm not arguing, but we have been through this massive socio-cultural sort of shift. You and I were born before the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Now the internet is in three things on our person at any given time.
Yeah.
You and I were born before, you know, you had to roll down your window. Now your car drives you wherever you want to go without you talking to it. I mean, it's the amount of technological and digital integration into our lives should have driven us crazy. And maybe it did. We'll find out.
Spoiler, it did. Spoiler, Ingrid Goes West.
Yeah. But it's, I think that when you watch a movie like Scent of a Woman and you cock your head like it's fucking cubism, it's because it's a snapshot of an evolution. You know, it's like taking a picture of a butterfly coming out of a pupa and going, tell me what that is. You're like, I don't fucking know. It doesn't look like anything. It's like yellow and green and it looks like it's cut open, but it's clearly fine. And you know, it's like getting halfway through a surgery and then handing somebody else the tools and going, yeah, finish that for me. Is you just don't, it's not a completed project, but at the time it's all there was.
Right.
And it's a snapshot of this is where society was in this moment. This seemed like a good idea at the time.
Uh-huh. Right.
And you have to, the saving grace of all of this is that the movie's not hard. It's a very soft, the movie wants you to like it. It's something that you don't get from our favorite movies of the current era.
Right.
We love movies now that come out and go, I fucking dare you to like me, you little bitch. Right. It's just hate fucking you. Right, and you and I are just like, we're trying so hard.
But we're recording this on the eve of Gaspar Noé's new movie at Cannes.
Right.
I mean, how much better of a time could you have planned that?
In the 1990s, it was just like, please get the lowest common denominator you can. Approach one as quickly as possible.
Uh-huh.
Just everybody needs to love Scent of a Woman. And I don't think Simone's far off from that. I think Simone is one notch above where it tries to go, let me elevate the idea. But
yeah,
it's still it's spoon feeding the same audience fucking 10 years later.
It's almost dizzying, the in the I'm going to call this the second feature on our No One Wants to Fuck Al Pacino double feature. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Is that? Okay. That's what I was going to use for our... All right. Great. I think Simone is almost dizzying in the way that it leaps into the... It gets to the meat of the movie pretty quick, but almost in a way that makes you question what is the meat of the movie. As a person who knows they're going to have to talk about the themes of Simone, I am scattering through the whole movie going, is this the, because we got to this really quick. Are we over here? What are we?
Right.
We start the movie and he's having a problem making a film. And then he talks to Hank in a scene. And then all of a sudden the film is over. And they're like out the other end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a quick, it really just leaves me dizzy to go, oh, well, I guess we're...
You left out the part where the eyeball rolls by in the background. Also, Frank doesn't have an eye.
I think it's Hank, not Frank.
Frank, whatever. It might
be, let's
no,
call
it's Hank. I think it's Hank.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Frank doesn't have an eye either.
Frank with
but
a
he
PH.
Was, right.
Yeah.
Right. It's... it just leaps so fast into that. I'm on guard the whole time I'm watching this because I know Michael on double feature. I know that this is secretly the Congress Part 2 double feature for Michael Kester.
Oh my God, right?
I do. It's like, how is it we're doing Simone on the show? Oh, Michael wants to talk about the Congress again. You presented this as we'll have a chance to talk about Al Pacino a little bit. Also, just recently, we talked about the year-end episode of Double Feature, wherein we present an off-the-wall, impossible, just cringeworthy pairing of two films where you can't believe that someone would possibly watch these two films back-to-back. And just to be clear, that's not this episode?
No, it gets way worse.
Excellent. Yeah. So, just make sure I'm on the right
page.
So that's not this episode. So I went, secret Trojan horse of the Congress.
Well, so a few of the things that I love about, and I mean, like Simone, it is a ham-fisted punch to the face of its ideal. It is fucking drawing with markers the size of your forearm. The subtlety is lacking at levels that I'm not sure Lego Movie compares to.
Sure,
and,
right. But are often really fucking funny to me,
well,
too.
And I mean, I just kind of what I was saying about Scent of a Woman and kind of what I had mentioned about this, like I think this movie needs those broad strokes to reach the audience it's going for. And I don't think this is closer to our lifetime of like adulthood. Mm-hmm. I don't think the audience that saw Simone was prepared for what they may have accidentally learned from Simone.
Interesting.
And I think that that gives us sort of a glimpse into what Scent of a Woman may have done. Because like Simone is a laughable film from sitting all the way up here in 2018. It's laughable. But I think that there's certain ideas. One of the moments in this movie that just like crush me from an ideological standpoint is when he essentially goes, there's no such thing as Simone, and the audience goes, there's no such thing as you, asshole. And you're just like, is that how, did that just flip reality? Like for real?
Right.
Because and I don't want to talk too much about, you know, the president, but it's kind of that thing. It's that thing where the audience just goes, we want to like it, so you can't make us not.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate reality that we have adopted our adoration for this concept.
Mm-hmm.
And you can come out and go, I made it up. It's not real. And we will go, no, sorry, I believe in thetans.
Yeah.
Or we will go, no, sorry, I believe in Al Pacino enough to watch him play a blind man. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's people just who are on the boat and there is no getting them off the boat once people are on the boat.
Yeah, well, there's a couple things thematically that the movie hints at, but I don't think there's any point in slow burning up to that fucking scene. The scene where he tries to tear down Simone.
Yeah.
That's where it becomes haunting for me.
Yeah.
That's where it's I really do think at this particular moment, that is the part that's more the most relevant.
Mm-hmm.
There's the earlier stuff where you can kind of expose how secretly a one-sided interaction can inform individuals. When he's talking to himself on the phone, or he pretends to the other actor that he's already talked to Simone,
mm-hmm.
you can sort of see through the paper-thin veil of social interactions. I think there's interesting stuff there. There's interesting stuff in the AI. These are there's the Congress part of just making up actors mm-hmm. and making up a presence, and where do, you know, any of us live in consciousness, and mm-hmm. the existential angst only capable of enough time devoted to it in a film like The Funeral, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing that just hits me so hard is the part where once he creates Simone and tries to get rid of her, people just refuse.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that the virus disc, the plague disc, or whatever ridiculous mm-hmm. prop he's sticking in the computer doesn't make any sense, which is literally on a B drive floppy, you know, mm-hmm. 3.25. I mean, as ridiculous as it could possibly be. But the fact that socially there is no destroying Simone once people want to believe in Simone.
Right.
A thing that the movie only hits on a little bit, but I think, you know, the biggest study, the way to get the most out of Simone today is to look at it and think about, once you've added an idea to the consciousness, and once that idea to popular culture, to everyone, once you surrender an idea to the public and they want to believe in the idea, how impossible it is to get them to stop.
I think that there's a sort of second layer to what you're saying, which is when you deliberately design something devourable by the public. You know, it's different than, just to keep the conversation kind of to itself for a change, it's different than a movie like Get Out, which nobody necessarily was asking for mm-hmm. when it came out and was beloved. This is something that somebody sat down and by committee went, we're going to make the Lego movie. And it came out and everybody was like, unanimously, this is great. And of course it is uh-huh. because there were 90 people in a room and Penn Jillette was there and Steve Jobs was there. So of course the talking toy movie is everybody's favorite. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's that sort of ravenous aspect of mass society, of popular culture, where once something hits all those receptors, and you know, that sort of, I mean, it's a drug, right? If it hits everything that you want, you can't, it's sort of, actually, this is interesting. This is totally double feature appropriate, but I'm about to blow your mind. I'm totally like probably within a week of watching the Matrix sequels for the first time in my life.
What? How is that happening?
Part of it was stupid, but part of it was seeing this movie and going, I love the Matrix so much. I'm these people and the Matrix is Simone. And if somebody goes, this is actually Simone, I'll be like, nuh-uh, fuck that. I like the first one and that's the only one that ever happened and you don't exist.
For people who don't listen to Double Feature, just imagine that Michael said, hey, I heard about this TV show Lost. I'm going to start watching it. That's sure. what just happened right
or,
now.
Or more so, imagine another, for our younger listeners, all zero of you, imagine I went, I think I'm going to see about these other 6 Harry Potter books.
Well, yeah, I mean, don't get me started on Harry Potter movies. That you can't just invoke a 6 film fucking franchise.
Sorry.
And then be like, let's just walk away from that. Mm-hmm. 7 films? It's one more film than book, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's 7 films, 6 books.
See, this is already a problem.
Right.
All we need to do is figure out if it's a Harry Potter or the Harry Potter, and mm-hmm. I'm stuck in a loop for 24 minutes.
Right.
So you can't do that on the show. So think about the psychology a little bit and what affects these people, and what really starts to turn up the heat even more is that in order to destroy Simone, he realizes he has to do this socially. It's not just
delete the program,
just the the physical program. And I guess actually it happens in the opposite order, doesn't it? It's Simone has to go give these interviews to be hated, and then he hits the delete button. But we realize today that actually, I think she just has to put the disc back in. Look, computers don't make any sense in this movie. I'm sorry. I didn't write it, and it happened a million years ago. Okay, what do you want from me? The point is that it's not enough to do one of these things. You have to do the other, and I don't remember the order. But I wanted to talk about when she goes on TV, and she gives a series of controversial positions, all of which are mainstream again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this might as well be, you know, Nazis come back to America in a scene from a film from 20 years ago.
I'm just saying, if there's a hole in the ozone layer, why can't I see it? I'm just saying, if the earth is round, why does it look so flat?
And I'm like, Simone, shh, Fox and Friends will hear you. Don't, shh.
It's like prime territory for like somebody to clip that shit out of context and be like, look at this alt-right film from 2002 or whatever.
Can you believe what's on InfoWars?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can somebody listening to this cut that clip out of Simone and try to present
make it an interview? Make it an interview with fucking
Tucker Carlson.
Yeah. Just like like splice it into an interview with
John Hannity.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, but these are, you know, the things that seem to be so blatant and stupid as controversial positions back then are things that people blindly agree with today. And maybe that's the reason I have so much trouble remembering if she gets deleted before or after. She has to get deleted after she gives that presentation. But the idea is stronger in my mind in that you try to physically destroy her and that the ideas live on. And I think that's where that switch comes in.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that the device in there is, ooh, but I can't just say that because I'm so tied up in legal bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I get why we arrange the index cards that way in the script. So I understand that. But I mean, the thing that is not being stated that just needs to be said once is that Simone could shoot someone on the street and still be reelected, right? Isn't that?
Right.
I forgot which avenue she was shooting someone on the street.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. 42nd for this.
Avenue 42nd. Yeah. Thank you. Great. Great. I love when people listen to all the episodes. I think that's 42nd Street, but let's call it 42nd
Avenue. For those of you on your two episode double feature streak, you're welcome.
Yeah. 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 So then I start thinking about, well, what about that? That's a great question of today, really, is that it turns out that you really could shoot a person on, what was it, 42nd Avenue?
42nd Avenue. Yeah. You know, because we've been to New York a couple times. We know our way around.
Hey, let me tell you about New York. There's this place called 42nd Avenue. It's a real place. Look it up. On 5th Street. Could shoot a woman on 5th Street. You could smell a woman on 5th Street. And you would still get reelected. That is. Jesus. Double feature. Come on, double feature. Get your fucking show together. That is the question of our time. That's the, in my mind, that is the biggest question is it because, why has that problem happened and how do we eliminate it? Is it because we've become so tribal?
Like what? I think that it's idiot expertise. I think that's a big part of it socially. I think it's this sort of idea that I know better, even if you know better. It's sort of the idea that, well, that's just your opinion, man. Or you feel one way and I feel the other way and those things are both valid.
I don't know. I feel like these are symptoms.
You do?
I feel like these are reactions. I don't, you know, I guess if we had the answer, then we could be better America. So maybe it's stupid trying to find that right now. Maybe we're on a larger quest to figure out how to break up camps and tribalism.
Right.
But we do see in the film that one thing we have known for a long time, which is that people don't like acknowledging
Al Pacino acting outside of mob films. Is that what you were going to say?
No, I remember Dog Day Afternoon. Mm-hmm. And
that's a mob film.
That is not a mob film.
It's a crime film.
Whatever.
And there's a mob in it. So fuck you.
Glengarry Glen Ross. Listen, I'm prepped for this.
You know, there's a thing in Glengarry Glen Ross where
there's crime. Fuck off.
The original script just called for Alec Baldwin to walk in and say "hoo-ah," but he ad-libbed the whole thing instead.
All right. I'm not going to play devil's advocate with you here.
Fuck off.
My. Yes, it did. It's become a show that's only amusing to you and I. We've fallen so hard backwards that I don't know. Jack. Okay. Nope. It's going to be fine. You're going to be fine.
Everything's going to be fine. It's been a while since you got me on one of these.
I know. It's going to be fine. Fuck. These are Al Pacino films. Look, everybody's in on the joke. It's not funny anymore. Let's get back to solving first world problems, like the first world becoming a third world. That's the problem we're trying to solve on today's show.
Well, and I...
People don't like being duped. That was what I was going to say. Is they don't like acknowledging that Simone can't be real. That would mean they're idiots. Mm-hmm. And we've known this about skepticism for a long time. People don't want to say that there aren't really ghosts because they said they saw a ghost and they would look really stupid if they... Mm-hmm. Acknowledged.
Well, and I mean, you know, with stuff like that, it's so much easier to just say nah. Because think about what you're saying. Think about that ghost scenario. Somebody goes, this happened to me and it was a ghost, and trust me, it was a ghost. And then you just hold up a piece of paper that says there ain't no ghosts, signed reality. And they go, well, but then what happened to me? And then they have to somehow figure out how to unpack this scenario without the easy tied up bow of, nuh-uh, Simone's real.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think from the amount of time that I had really spent talking to people about science and skeptical topics and, you know, and really coming at it from the angle of trying to disprove things that I knew to be fake, or challenge people on the idea that, well, it's fine if it's fake and they believe because it's okay to have your own reality. Fuck you guys. You were all obviously wrong. this is all you're doing. People who are like, let them believe whatever they want. People can make up their own.
Mm-hmm. Live your truth. Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, I've been proved out on that one. But, you know, the thing that I found everybody thinking about so much is that if you just come at people by telling them that they're stupid to believe and here's the facts, it's true believers. They're not going to accept the facts. The facts are in line with the world in which they got duped. And that is even true for smart people, mm-hmm. for very smart people. In fact, it's mm-hmm. even harder sometimes with really intelligent people because they think, I mean, that disproves a core part of who they are.
Right.
So if part of your identity is that you're a person of high intelligence, the fact that you've been duped, as any human being can be, really cuts at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It challenges the very basic piece of identity that, you know, that we all crave.
Right.
And it's something to think about probably more on our presidents and propaganda stuff.
Sure, right.
But I do feel like we don't spend enough time talking about, there's a loaded phrase that I hate to use. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time talking about a lot of things.
That's all right. We're toward the end of the show. So if you want to drop some loaded shit, let's go for it.
Okay. there's a blind rage to a lot of us because of the things that are happening around us in current times mm-hmm. that forces us to act out and treat things as binary and throw garbage people off cliffs and things of this nature. And we do have to remember that that it's going to be a lot more effective to get people to not back a murderer on 42nd Avenue. Uh-huh. If it doesn't mean they have to acknowledge that they're an idiot and all of the dumb things that you have said about them for 2 years are in fact true.
Right. And so all of this to say, I mean, just to beg the greater question, is Al Pacino really that big of a deal?
I think that Al Pacino, the thing that has put Al Pacino in the spotlight, even if that is nothing more than the fact that Al Pacino is in a spotlight. You know what I mean? Like
let me rephrase it in a way that's more interesting. Is Al Pacino in Simone because Simone is about Al Pacino? Did they cast him as the director because for a greater part of his career, he was the actor?
Yeah. Well, when you look at the easy way, let's say that mm-hmm. the film talks about actors, we see the very things that I was saying about Son of a Woman, that you need big people in big movies to sell big movies. And this really also takes a look at what creates stardom and what is an icon. And much like, I mean, this is not the high praise Al Pacino answer that I want to give, but it is, I think, the real answer. And so, torn with several minutes to go about which of those to talk about, I will give you the real answer. I think the fact that people think Al Pacino is an incredible actor makes him an extremely notable actor worth study, regardless of whether you feel that he portrays a role really authentically or really, you know, in each person's mind, what a good actor is different. You don't want to see a person acting. I think that's for a lot of people. For other people, they think about a range. Range is incredibly important. Can Al Pacino play small and big? Can he play, you know, just all of these different types of roles? And that is how you gauge that. And a lot of just saying is an actor great is also personal preference. Certainly successful, though.
I'll tell you the moment in this movie that made me go, maybe it gave me pause to actually analyze Al Pacino as an actor. And it's a small moment, and I don't think that there was necessarily intention to it being a big deal for the people watching it. But there's a scene, the first scene where Simone is on the talk show, and Al Pacino's doing the live presentation of her. And so he's
Al Pacino doing Simone is some pretty classic material.
It's impressive because, and here's why, because I would have expected Al Pacino to play it for, and I mean this with the connotation, super femmy. And he doesn't. I mean, he plays it like a woman.
I also thought about as we were watching that has to be one of the trickiest parts of acting in this role, is how the fuck do you play Simone in a way that isn't just you doing it? I mean, you just have to do an impression of someone. You're literally impersonating a person, impersonating a woman.
Yeah.
And that should today be the most cringeworthy part of Simone, and it's not. So good on you, Simone. We have a website, it's doublefeature.fm. We're on the internet. Go to patreon.com/doublefeature. That's where we want you to go. That's where we need you to go, really. How else are we going to continue doing movies where Pruitt Vince is billed over Jason Schwartzman? That's insane. Athena Banks, Tom Leonard, Keisha, Mark Abbott, Jordan Sells, David Anderson, Charles Crawford, Ben Ecker, Aaron Shore, and Abbott of Unreason are the executive producers that make the show possible. And on a timeline of things that are possible, the next dot would be another show. What is that show?
Ooh, are you ready?
I don't know. Tell me and then I'll tell you if we're ready.
We're going to do a movie called Director's Cut, and then we're going to pair that with a movie called Everybody Wants Some! !
Type in both of the exclamation points. I'll tell you, half of those movies I haven't seen, and the other half I've seen so many fucking times that I am definitely ready. But
yeah. Yeah, I'm in the same and converse boat.
Yes. So this is the Everybody Wants Some has been out a little bit. Director's Cut is just coming out, and it would actually be of great advantage to me if you bought that. So go on iTunes, buy Director's Cut, pretty please. Well, I mean, you know, if you're already supporting the patron and looking for another thing to do. Otherwise, if you come to the show just trying to please Eric 13, it's patreon.com/doublefeature. Let's keep doing the show. And we'll watch both of those movies and come back and celebrate.
Stupid question. If I go to my local digital video retailer for physical copies, is Director's Cut going to be there or is that not real?
I think you can get a DVD, but not a Blu-ray. I believe the Blu-ray... I've seen actually the packaging and stuff that they're doing for that, and I think it just takes some more time to put out. But don't quote me on that. But it is
gotta add those D's. Yeah, it's extra D's, extra time.
Yeah, right. There's definitely digital copies though. There's definitely some iTunes, And look, this is one of the weirdest fucking movies ever. I don't even know what to do with the show next time. I guess we'll figure that out.
Cool.
But mostly I just wanted, every time I go see this movie, it ends up being screenings with a ton of the cast and stuff. And there aren't like real people there.
So you need me to get a bunch of the cast together to see it?
No, no, no. Okay. All I want in my life, just personally, selfishly, is to know what the fuck real people think about this and not people who made the movie.
I will do you a favor for real, something that's not hard for me.
Uh-huh.
I will watch this with another person who has no idea what they're about to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And just see if either of you understand what the fuck is happening.
Amazing.
If it really, in my mind.
Because even I'm tainted at this point on that movie. Mine's easy. Everybody wants some. Richard Linklater handled most of that. I mean, like I had stuff to do with it.
Uh-huh.
But like he did most of the heavy lifting and like.
Will I be able to find the stuff you had to do with it by watching the movie? Am I going to be able to identify that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sweet. Most I will look for it.
Mm-hmm.
Watch
more fucking film. Is that it?
That's it. Bye.
Watch our fucking films.
Bye.
This program is a proud member of the Battleship Pretension Fleet.